All right, so we'll get started. And this is Barbara Solarius from Wrangell-St. Elias National Park, and I'm going to be talking to Verana Butch today, who goes by the nickname of Ronnie. And it is Friday, September 11th, 2015, and we're at the Slana Ranger Station. And we're going to be talking today about Ronnie's recollections of the Copper Basin in Wrangell-St. Elias National Park in the early 1980s when her husband was the first park superintendent. So Ronnie, thank you for agreeing to talk to you today, and we'll be completing both a Park Service and UAF release form for the use of the interview. And I wondered if you could just start by telling us a little bit about yourself, when and where you were born and where you grew up.
Well, I was born in Draper, Utah, which is just now a suburb of Salt Lake. It was a farming community, and I was born October the 7th, 1928. And I lived a lot with my grandparents. My parents were in the restaurant businesses, so they moved around a lot. We lived in California some, and then I got measles and I was quite ill with them, so we moved back to Utah, and I stayed with my grandparents and started first grade there, and my folks moved around with jobs, and like people did in the Depression, wherever there was a job, that's where you went. So, and then my folks moved to Jackson, Wyoming in 1936. So I started school in Jackson, and my folks had restaurants there. I went through eighth grade there, and then my parents were divorced, and then I went to girls' school a couple of years in Salt Lake and Laramie, Wyoming. And I graduated from high school in 17 and went to school 1 year. And Chuck and I were married because he was a local boy.
So, yeah, I was going to say, how did you meet your husband, Chuck?
Well, he was a moose. His mom had a grocery store, and she was the postmaster, but Chuck's dad worked for the Park Service. He was a foreman, shop foreman, mm-hmm. a Teton. So he and his brother used to drive in to high school, and they ate at our restaurant every day. So, and the world of Jackson or Teton County is full of budges, so you're bound to meet one of them. And then, I don't know, he went into the service. He was 4 years older than I was. So, I don't know, we just kind of wrote to each other during the war. And he went to school in Laramie. And I went to school in Salt Lake. And then we got married.
Okay.
On D-Day.
Oh, wow.
Not the original D-Day.
Okay. And so it sounds like pretty much most of your adult life you were had some kind of affiliation with the Park Service.
That's right. First one was in the Badlands, South Dakota. And it was a monument in mm-hmm. those days. It has park status now. And Chuck hadn't finished college, so he worked for probably a year and a half, I guess. And the Park Service gave him leave to go back and finish his degree from with Utah State Agriculture College at Utah State University now. So, and that was a good move, really, to get that degree behind your name.
And what was his degree in?
Forestry.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I guess it's just plain forestry. It might probably have a longer title now. It's probably forestry and
sure.
La, 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 la.
And what were some of the other places that you lived and parks that he worked at?
Oh, well, we moved, we transferred to Yellowstone for there, and we were there for 3.5 years, and then we transferred to Shenandoah and lived at Front Royal. I loved Shenandoah. It was a beautiful park, but we were not there at an ideal time because integration was escalating in being from the West. I still don't quite understand it, but high school closed while we were there, and we didn't know from week to week if the elementary school was going to close. So it was kind of unsettling. But we only lived there 22 months, and then we moved to Oregon Pipe. And we were there for a couple of years, and then we moved to Glacier. Chuck was district ranger at St. Mary, and daughter went to high school in Browning. It was a 35-mile bus trip twice a day. And then Chuck transferred to the west side as forestry and fire control. Fire control, and he did the bug thing, bug protection.
Like some kind of pest control.
Mm-hmm. And let's see, we were in Glacier for 4 years, and then we transferred to Padre Island, and we were there for a couple of years, and then we transferred to Canyonlands, and then we were there for 4 years, and then transferred to Bryce Canyon as superintendent, and we were there for 4 years. And then we transferred to Santa Fe, and he was in the regional office. He was chief of visitor protection and resource management, some something else. And he traveled an awful lot there because he was in charge of camps that they had for kids. Wherever they had a camp, he went and helped set those up. Mm-hmm. So he traveled an awful lot there. And then we moved up here.
So when did you first come to Alaska?
In 1979, and Chuck was in the regional offices something.
Okay.
And then we spent, he was just supposed to be up at Denali like 6 weeks, but we were there 6 months waiting for a new superintendent. And that was great because he went up in April. I think I went up in May. And so we were just there through the summer and into the fall. And then we came back into Anchorage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the wheels were starting to turn.
So this was the fall of 1980?
Mm-hmm. And so then we were getting ready for the big move mm-hmm. for here.
So Anilka was signed in December of 1980, establishing Wrangell St. Elias.
Mm-hmm. And so it was a different world to come over here, mostly because every park we ever lived in, they loved the Park Service, or at least tolerated us. And it was very difficult to begin with because they wouldn't rent us any place to live, wouldn't sell us gas, wouldn't sell us food, and Tasty Freeze had a big old sign up saying, you know, do not come in. And finding a place to live, Chuck did find this ancient trailer down at Willow Lake that they were willing to rent to us, and it was hysterical. It must have been probably 40 years old. But he came out first, and he did a little work on it, cleaned it up a little bit. But there was a bathroom in it, but there wasn't a toilet on the hole on the floor.
Oh.
We did get one, but at least we had a place to live.
Mm-hmm.
And all the moves we made, I guess I have to say and be honest, I did tell Chuck, I said, I'll live out here for the summer in this trailer, but I will not live, because we have really a nice condo in Anchorage. And I found this place to live. It was by Grizzly Pizza. It was a downstairs apartment and an upstairs apartment. It wasn't elegant, but we were very comfortable. And it was a kitchen and a living room and a bedroom, and that's all we needed. And
how did you find that?
Well, both Shirley and I kind of integrated ourselves in Kenny Lake, and I got involved in volunteer work and helped with the fair, and Marge Britton had told me about this apartment, so we got the wheels turning, and it was empty, and they were willing to rent it to a Park Service people. And so it was, I enjoyed the Kenny Lake community. I made some friends down there, and it was fun working for the fair time. And I think that really helped cement relationships down there, especially because the community building there was for the most part closed up all year long, you know. And so it was pretty dirty and dusty, and mice and squirrels and all their leavings. And Shirley and I got in and rolled up our arms, you know, and got in and scrubbed and cleaned toilets. And I always had the feeling that, well, they are human after all. They're not afraid to get dirty.
Uh-huh.
And so, and I don't know, Kenny Lake community thing, I did some typing one summer for them, and I made some nice friends down there. And so I've never been sorry that that's where we were.
And Shirley...
Hannah.
Shirley was Shirley Hannah, and she was the wife of Jim Hannah, who was another park employee.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, and of course, they stayed forever and really integrated in the community. And of course, Shirley worked for Otna Corporation. I think she worked for the school system
too. Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah.
She was a teacher.
And it was fun to reacquaint our, you know, knowing them from Bryce Canyon, because that was like, we moved from there in 76, and they came, I think they were maybe there about a year before we transferred. And of course, the girls had grown up and were growing up, different than being like 2 and 5 or 3 and 5. I think Cinnamon was in the first grade maybe when they moved there, when Sherry was 3 or 4 years younger. So it was fun to, you know, renew friendships, and which is what you do a lot of times in the Park Service.
And were there other Park Service employees out here, or just Chuck and...
Well, Bill Palick was here, and he came from Anchorage too. He was the chief ranger. They lived in Glen Allen though, so didn't see a whole lot of Marcy. And it's like I told some of my friends, they said, what'd you do in the wintertime? I said, well, first of all, I cooked a lot, gained a lot of weight. But I said, you have to be self-motivated. I said, it isn't like you know, get in your car and meet somebody for a cup of coffee. I said, in the wintertime, it was darn cold, so you didn't drive however far it was from our apartment to Kenny Lake. And of course, Shirley went to work, so she wasn't there. So, but I like to do crafts, so I'm a terrible knitter, but I knit, and I like to sew, so I sewed a lot, and I did crewel embroidery, anything to keep busy. And having the condo in Anchorage, I'd go in and stay sometime if I was getting cabin fever. And one of the park employees' daughter worked at Alaska Native Arts and Crafts, So I got to know Karen, and I just said one time, oh, I'd like, you know, crafts like that. And when we lived in Moab, I worked part-time at one of the trading posts. Mm-hmm. But in Anchorage, it was, if I was coming in, they always said, let us know if you're coming in, because somebody always wants a day off or two. So uh-huh. I worked on and off at Alaska Native Arts and Crafts, and I loved that, because when the natives would bring their wares in, if Mary Lou, who was the manager, didn't buy them, then we could buy them. So I ended up with a nice collection mm-hmm. of things simply because they were there. And it was fun to have the extra money to mm-hmm. blow. So
what was life like in the Copper Basin back then? You talked a little bit about the winters, but...
Well, I'd lived where it was cold before, but not cold like it is up uh-huh. here. Bryce Canyon got cold, and we lived at West Yellowstone 2 winters, and we had 50 below zero mm-hmm. there, and it's sort of like here. They didn't have bus service, but the kids, if it was really very cold, one of the dads walked with the kids. Mm-hmm. But they always walked just part way and then made sure they didn't flop down in the snow and make angels. Yes,
awesome, right.
The kids had gym class inside of, you know, instead of playing outside, right. They played in the gym, but they always had to have a special pair of tennis shoes to play. But my daughter had one dress that she'd love to wear. It was in the laundry all the time, and the belts were always, I had to sew the belts on, little tie thing. And I finally said, I have to sew these on every week. Why, what's going on? Well, she got to be the horse, because those were the raids.
Now, was that in Moab, or?
No, that was in West Yellowstone. Okay.
So not here in Alaska.
No. Oh, no, she was married when okay.
So it was just you and Chuck when you lived
yes,
up,
uh-huh.
when you moved up
More
here.
More people think that she lived up here with us. And I said, no, they came to visit once as well.
Uh-huh.
So, and no, didn't have long. I mean, she graduated from school in Bozeman,
uh-huh.
taught school 1 year. Actually, she wasn't in a school situation. She tutored a girl who was on dialysis. Mm-hmm. So, and then she and Doug were married then. He was from Calgary. And he went up before she finished. But it was like a school contract, you know. So she taught her every day. And then she taught in one school and her husband taught in another school, and then they were divorced, and so she quit teaching school because she'd moved away, and it was a long ways, and she ran off the road a couple of times, and so it wasn't worth it.
Yeah. Well, coming back to Alaska, how long were you here at Wrangell St. Elias?
It was about 3.5 years. I think we came over, and then Chuck retired in 84.
So that this was his last Park Service mm-hmm, position.
Mm-hmm. Retired from here.
And do you have any particular memories of your time here that you could share with us?
Oh, just...
For significant events?
Not really, except that I think as we were getting ready to leave, people realized that we lived here. It wasn't really an event, but I had to come in to Glen Allen to do laundry. And, of course, they all knew who I was. And somebody said, when are you leaving? And I said, we're not. We live here now. And I think that, I don't know whether that made them feel better or worse, but to know that, you know, we were interested in the community and what was going on and wanted to make sure that we were making good inroads. And I made it a point to introduce myself to people. Jean Renee, who's the artist, I called on her because I like art, and mm-hmm. we became kind of halfway friendly. And I used to get stuff from her all the time about some of her artwork. And I did, you know, a lot of people would try to question me about the Park Service. And I was always very nice. I said, I'm not in the Park Service. I said, if you have any questions, check with Chuck or Bill Pellick, and they'll feed you and what you need to know or want to know. I said, I don't have any part of answering questions.
Mm-hmm.
There were really no real big significant things because we all kind of lived too far apart.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have, you know, somebody transferred or resigned. But the staff was so little in those days, we didn't really have any staff, mm-hmm. and just one maintenance person, Tom Waters, left the Park Service. And but we had known them. He was a seasonal up at Denali, so
mm-hmm.
we had known them, and he was quite talented. And ironically, he and Kathy moved to Whitefish, and Tom is one of the premier builders for, you know, million-dollar homes.
Right.
And so I do see them once in a while, mm-hmm. but their kids are grown now and they're grandparents, and they don't have time just to come and have a cup of coffee.
Right. So when at the very beginning in 1981, when the park was first getting started, was there an office?
Well, to begin with, the kind of the office in that lovely trailer we had, I said, the first office was me. I had a kitchen table and a Xerox box and an old electric typewriter, and a few letters or something had to be mm-hmm. written. I did it. And then we had a little office space in Ellis Air Taxi.
Uh-huh, up at the Gulcana Airport.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then Churches had that building. And
mm-hmm.
so that was just getting right uptown, having a real office. And people started realizing that we were here to stay, so they started being a little more receptive to our being here, and you know, some of the natives were hired.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I got to know Alice Craig really quite well, and whenever I come up, I always call her. I had a nice visit mm-hmm. with her the other day, and Renee was expecting a baby, so we had a baby shower in the office. And I always check on Renee
mm-hmm.
when I come up, and it doesn't seem possible for Renee's a grandmother. But so, and of course, she's lived in a lot of wonderful places, and Alice has been fortunate that she's been able to go to one of these places to visit her. I think they live in New York now, so that's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and how about when Chuck retired? Were there more staff at that point in 1984?
No, they did get an office besides, can't even remember her name now. She came from Rocky Mountain, I think, and the apartment where we were had a little cabin behind, and she lived in that. And I kept in contact with her for a few years, and she resigned from the Park Service and married a fisherman, and so I haven't heard from her for years and years, but we had, you know, several seasonals.
Mm-hmm.
Sean McGinnis was one of them, and so I've always kept in touch mm-hmm. with Sean. But maybe one of the things that was kind of memorable, we had a seasonal party and a permanent down at our apartment, except it was nice, so it was outside and in kind of in the garage. But I cooked a couple of briskets, and I made homemade ice cream, and it was hysterical because these kids, you know, were not cooking for themselves, so to speak, and they were literally licking the stuff out of the pan, all the brisket. And the ice cream was certainly a hit, homemade ice cream, and they were about the same way. They were would have licked the canister, I'm sure. And then, you know, then we tried to get together in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there was it's such a big area. People were scattered hither, thither, and yon. So it didn't get... And one of the... A couple of the other things, we'd only been here just a little while. And Palix and... I don't think Hannah's were here yet. Anyway, we went down to Chitna, and right after we left, we walked in because there were too many place to park. Right after we left, somebody was murdered down there, and of course, then Chuck was here when the McCarthy thing.
Right.
And he had just left to go to Moab because Bates Wilson, who had been superintendent all the time we were there, passed away, and so Chuck wanted to go to the funeral. So John Cook gave him leave to go as a representative kind of the Park Service. Mm-hmm. And he heard about it right there, and he didn't even spend the night in Moab. Somebody drove him back to Salt Lake, and he flew right home. So that was probably one of the worst scenarios that we had while we lived here, and a scary thing. I don't know, you always hear these rumors after that Chuck's name was in that guy's computer too, and that was never verified, so whether it really was, and what I don't know if there are any other Park Service, but I think the mayor, I think it was Tony Knowles was the mayor, and, you know, some of the people that maybe had a vendetta against, I don't know, but it always kind of made you. I don't like guns, but I did keep a gun at our apartment, and I wouldn't have hesitated to. But Chuck always laughed. He said, anybody that would come in and see a woman waving a gun around to be pretty desperate. But we were always told that they would never hurt a woman. Mm-hmm. Now, whether that was true or not again, I don't know. But better safe than sorry. But I did keep a gun. And Chuck traveled some when we lived over here. Or he, you know, going out. And, but I never had anybody knock on my door and try to give me a bad time. So I always felt fortunate about that. And we made friends, you know, with the Ellises, and have remained friends, and especially Lynn, because I was around him more. And I was only up at Nabesna a couple of times. But Chuck and I used to come up to have dinner with Thelma and Bill, and of course it maybe be 55 below and we leave, so a lot of times we'd end up by spending the night because Bill would say, you're not driving home.
It's better not to drive when it's that cold.
Yeah, and Thelma and I, you know, I wouldn't see Thelma very often, but we'd talk every day for probably hours on the telephone. And I first met Thelma at Club Paris.
In Anchorage.
So we came, you know, we came, and of course when she had her cancer thing, I came up and, I don't know, I guess I was up here about 6 or 7 weeks, maybe. So we had a lot of fun, even before I had her surgery. I went to all her doctor's appointments with her, so. And so, you know, I was in on the ground floor, and a lot of times it's better to have two ears listening to something than one. But we went to a lot of movies, and we ate a lot of ice cream, and ate out a lot, and of course I was, Cleo was here for her surgery too, and I think she felt good to know that I was on tap, and you know, there really wasn't anybody to help her. I mean, she got the cousins, but they're all boys, and they all work, and Jenny was busy, and, with her family and her business, and Loreen certainly wasn't capable of doing it. So I was just glad that I was free to come. I didn't have any encumbrances. My daughter had moved down then, and she didn't have any qualms about me coming up, and she took care of my house and my plants and what little garden I had. And so, yeah. So, and that's, I said, that's what friends do for friends. You don't worry about, you know, what's, you're taking care of them. And it was, you know, except after the surgery, that wasn't so much fun, really. But still, it was good, you know.
You spent time together.
Mm-hmm. Learned how to clean the tubes that have to come out and measure it. And
so you've been coming up pretty regularly since Chuck retired?
I used to come like every other year. And I'd only come for like 10 days or 2 weeks. And then I thought, well, now that's kind of silly. You spend all that money and you're really only out here 10 days. So then I started coming for 3 weeks. And I think I only did that. And then I started coming up every summer. I didn't have anything keep me home. I mean, my daughter's there, my granddaughter, and my grandkids, the great-grandkids. But they're grown. They take care of themselves.
So mostly you come and visit Thelma.
Yeah.
Schrank, who's the institution here at the Solana Ranger Station.
Yes. I know she was laughing last night with her family that has come, and she said, people come into the office now and say, are you still here? We thought you'd be retired now. And of course she got her 30-year pin the other day, and that was really quite, I think she was very touched over that. Somebody said, well, you've been there 32 years. And she said, yeah, but I wasn't permanent. Makes a difference. So.
And what keeps you coming back here?
Thelma and the Wrangles. And if somebody said, what do you do when you go up there? And I said, nothing. I don't answer the telephone or go to any meetings. So...
It's a vacation.
Yeah, not that I'm really that busy in Whitefish, but, you know, you get involved in things, and I do volunteer work at our hospital, and I've been doing that for eons, and belong to a couple of social clubs, and I exercise at the senior center twice a week, and I've been having lunch with a friend for 2 years every Thursday since she retired, and we eat at different restaurants, and now we're having to start over because
we've eaten restaurant. Everywhere once.
Yeah, so, no, I like just being laid back and not having to do anything, and I know we went to the Princess Lodge and met Hannah's and Jim Baker and Mary Beth, and I hadn't seen either one of them since we left, so that was fun to renew acquaintances. And first of all, then we said something about going to Valdez, and I thought, really, I don't have anything to go to Valdez for. We went last year when Harold and Cleo were here. And, I mean, I like Valdez, and I was amazed at the sea of motorhomes, trailer houses, pickups, and campers, and whatever. Didn't ever seem that crowded when we lived here before. So it was fun going down, and we had lunch, and it was a beautiful day, and so it was fun to go down. So we just decided not to
do it this year.
Well, that's a long trip.
It's a long drive from Solana.
Mm-hmm. So, and it was a beautiful day to have lunch, and we stood out in the parking lot for probably half an hour or more before we all decided we'd better get our cars. And so, yeah, I just like coming back and reminiscing and visiting with people and going to Tok. Always have to go to Tok and go to the gift shops and Fast Eddie's and the grocery stores. And always visit with George. And it's always fun to meet new employees. I've known Tiffany before, but I haven't met Diane yet. And just to take a drive up the road.
Like up the Nebesna Road.
Haven't been too far up.
Have you been to the new campground?
No. We'll see before I leave, but I'm leaving Sunday, so it seems like to me it's gone faster this year than it usually does. Not in the same length of time. So I don't know why.
Well, that happens sometimes.
Well, I think when you're having fun and enjoying yourself, time always seems to go faster. Mm-hmm. If you're bored, it seems like it's never going to end. But,
I wanted to ask what kind of changes you've observed here in the Copper Basin since when you lived here.
Well,
you talked a little bit about the
visitor center and administration building and Princess Lodge, and I haven't driven around enough to see how much growth there is, but when we lived here before, Parks has built a new grocery store, and the Hub has gotten bigger. You know, other than that, and of course I haven't been down to Kenny Lake, so I don't know too much about what's happened down there. And, you know, so many little homes are built back in the woods, so
it's hard to see them.
You wouldn't see them. But how the staff has grown. One year when I was up here, it was the beginning of the season, so I went to the seasonal orientation. I couldn't believe it from famine to feast, so to speak. I mean, it was a sea of seasonal employees.
A lot of people.
And permanent employees. And, you know, that's wonderful. I've always thought Chuck would never believe all this transpired from the early days when we were threatened and... Fires and all that good stuff, one of the first meetings was at Duffy's, and usually there's not Park Service meetings right in bars, but close by.
Did you go to that meeting?
I did not.
You just heard about it after the fact.
Actually, yeah. But you have to make inroads, and I don't say that you take chances doing that, but I think you have to initiate friendship. And that old saying, bloom where you're planted, I certainly believe that here. Because you can't just hole up and pretend that things don't exist, because they do. You have to face reality. And like my saying in the laundromat, well, we live here.
Right.
So, but we did have a washer and dryer at that apartment just out in the garage.
Made life probably a little easier.
Mm-hmm. I didn't like having to go in there because the washing machines were always filthy and took me 20 minutes to clean them up so I could put my clothes in.
Oh, going to the laundromat.
Because I was never sure what had been washed in them.
Mm-hmm.
But that was an experience, too. Didn't hurt me.
Right.
Made me appreciate having a washer and dryer at home.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, those were the questions that I had had. Is there anything else that you can think of that we didn't talk about today that about your time here in the Copper Basin that you'd like to add?
I don't think so. I have told a lot of people, though, that being here and Chuck being the first superintendent is something I wouldn't trade for any assignments we ever had. And I know Chuck always felt like that, and I know I wrote that in his obituary that he felt like that was a wonderful way to end a Park Service career, because you don't get to be that in our nation's largest park.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that was a wonderful experience. And I know I had a bulletin board up in his room at the veterans home and lots of the things like that I kept posted on his room. Of course, he had a Bill had him trained as associate guide.
Bill Ellis.
Yeah, so they had a T-shirt made for him, and so that happened, and somebody else had given him one at Visit Chuck's Park, and so I put those up on his bulletin board, and those always made comments with the nurses, but what's all that all about? You know? But he spent 5 years in the veterans home in Columbia Falls where he died. So.
And that's where you went after you retired?
Mm-hmm. To Whitefish.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the veterans home was in Columbia Falls.
Okay.
We went back there simply because, I guess, living in Glacier, we used to ski over in Whitefish on Big Mountain. And we owned a lot in Jackson, Wyoming. But its whole complexion of Jackson's changed since we were kids. We went up there. But there was everything in Whitefish that Chuck liked to do. Mm-hmm. Hunt and fish and ski and hike and float the rivers and... And besides that, it was closer to our daughter living there. And Jackson is, you know, 3,000 feet higher than Whitefish. And
it seemed like a good place to go, it sounds like.
It just seemed like that. And we knew a lot of Park Service people retired in that area. So we had friends already there, and it just seemed like the logical place for us to be. And I've never been sorry that we're there. It's like any other place. It's growing and changing, and it's progress, if it's done properly, it's okay. Whitefish is an old railroad town. Used to be called Stump Town because sometimes street corners, they used to have just real stumps there so people would remind people. But Whitefish has sort of it's been found, and so there's a lot of wealthy people that live in that area now. And a lot of them kind of keep to themselves because Iron Horse is the place where the people with moneyed people go. But some of those are real great people too. I've met some people that live at Iron Horse, and it's they're okay. Mm-hmm. And those people are ones that live there mostly the year around. The ones that I think you have problems with are the ones that have spent Christmas and Easter and then go to Florida, wherever they got one, and, mm-hmm. you know.
Move around a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. And Big Mountain has really developed even since we moved there. Mm-hmm.
The ski area.
Mm-hmm. It's just filled with condos and stuff now. But they've put a lot of other new lifts in. And but they have water slides and all that stuff, which I'm not opposed to them. But when you've got all that scenic beauty, why do you need those in casinos? I'm just... I'm old-fashioned, I guess.
So... Well, thank you so much for talking to me today. It was great to learn some more about your time here in the Copper Basin. And
well, thank you for having me. It's been fun doing it.
Good, good. Well, thanks so much.